15 minutes after noon. This is the Thursday edition of Don't the Brass Stacks. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Corey, morning, sir. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
My prediction came true because I was saying that if the elections is not called today, they will be tomorrow. So I was kind of like right. The other thing I want to mention to you, too, is this.
You should have entered the Emerald City competition. You got $500 in groceries on. No, go ahead.
Yeah. But I Emerald City is a place too expensive for me.
I know $500 is $500. Not cheap.
Yeah, but you got to spend $500 to get the entry form, ain't it? I mean, you got to spend money to get the entry form,
I don't think so. Just guess the date and get $500 in groceries,
oh, okay,
man.
Yeah, well, I would have been right then.
Yeah, you would have taken shares and groceries with me, man.
After yesterday, I told a certain political analyst that it will be today or tomorrow. And if it's not today or tomorrow, it will be Monday. So I was spot on.
Right.
And if it wasn't like next week, if it was not next week, then the governor will call it free.
All right. Congratulations on calling it right. What do you got for us now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard a fellow today criticizing the poor. And you know when I talk things about the poor. I must come out and defend the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the poor is the best place to ever work.
He criticized the poor, or he said that wildcat strikes at the poor was disadvantageous to Barbados.
That is criticizing. Let me tell you something, Corey.
Okay, go ahead.
I catch up on a contact because, you know, in my capacity, when it was there, I used to come into contact with all the captains, crew ships, big and small, containers, submarines, warships, you name them. In my job down there. And a captain on a container ship once told me he don't understand how people at Bridgetown, Port of Bridgetown, as he said, don't get hurt. Because when they fellas working in the night, the port is so dark. And he don't understand how people work and nobody don't get hurt or kill or none. Now, I want to ask the caller this. If them men decide that they're going to strike because the lightning in the port is poor at night, would that be a wildcat strike too?
But you know, there's a certain criteria for something to be called a wildcat strike. It's not about what you're calling it for; it's about the procedure that you use.
Yeah, but the unions and the port know that the lightning in the port is poor.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they strike, would that be a wildcat strike? There's a lot of asbestos blown all about the port.
Once you don't follow the procedure for industrial action and you just get up and go there and strike, it is termed a wildcat strike. That is what a wildcat strike is.
Don't be a gatekeeper, Corey, man.
I'm not being a gatekeeper. I am a fact checker.
This is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
If your employer and union are aware of a certain problem,
mm-hmm,
and nothing is done to correct it, despite the fact that it is being spoken about and nothing is being done to correct it.
But what you're arguing is if it is justifiable or not. But what I'm saying is the terminology, from what I understand, somebody can come in and verify or deny, correct it or otherwise. That when workers get together and decide that they are striking without going through the union and giving notice to the employers and all of that, it is termed a wildcat strike. We're just dealing with definition. I'm not saying that the right or wrong, they should strike or they shouldn't strike, because that's what you're hearing, you know. Listen, we're friends, right? But I want to tell you this, and I want to ask you objectively. Don't you believe that the port has a lot to answer for in relation to many things happening in Barbados, particularly the cost of living? Do you agree with everything that happens at the port?
Corey, I want to tell this to you, see. People just talk a lot of things about the port I don't quite understand. Like the fellow who said a little while ago also, that the port workers pay $800 and $1,000 in contacts in a week, and that's woefully incorrect. I mean, that's ignorance of the highest order for somebody to say something like that.
I can't confirm or deny it, right? But do you believe that the port is run at the most efficient level that it can be run at?
Yes, the port is being run efficiently. I would like to think, although some areas in the port can be treated. You know, some areas of the port need looking at and can be treated.
Because I believe the port is so important to this country and the economy, right? I believe that in the near or not too distant future that we should have a program on the port. And if not, as a special guest on the line, I would like to have you in the studio. Because I don't believe we can have a productive discussion on the port right now. I believe the port plays a vital role, but I believe that there are some serious issues and has been some serious issues at the port for a very long time. You remember Tony Marshall on this program, right? You remember his sentiments towards the port?
Tony Marshall seems to have had some kind of grudge.
But every comment you make towards something, it doesn't have to be personal, right? It can be an honest, objective assessment. Some are personal, but some can, you know, it can sometimes it can
but
be.
Let me continue. Let me continue.
Please do.
If people don't know what they are talking about, they shouldn't go there, because what you were saying about the port is really very incorrect. He also says something about university down by the port. The university went there when the Caribbean countries was forming the University of the West Indies, and the first university was started down there. What went down there from Richmond School was the Polytechnic. Down there also had the trade fair. Down there also had the Cisco headquarters. Down there also had the lawn tennis court. And over where the Port Authority building is, over there used to be an open area where you saw Coney Island and Circus out there. And I mean, he talking things about the port because and other things because he just simply don't know. He don't understand. He don't know. But I just want to say, though, Corey, in closing, because I save my energy for next week. I just want to tell the Prime Minister, right? The power of the people is greater than that of the people in power. And come the 24th of next month, that message will go forth clear to him. And I hope you will understand, the power of the people is greater than that of the people in power.
All right,
Corey, I can talk to you later, buddy.
All right, good man. Brad Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey,
mm-hmm.
And good afternoon to the management and staff at Starcom. And I can't leave except that I shout out the manager of news and current affairs, Stetson Babb. I really like the way he reads the news. Well, Corey, the announcement of the election date has brought tremendous euphoria and rejoicing to the entire Barbados, and in particular to the members of the Barbados Labour Party.
Okay, so you speak for the entire Barbados right now. You're a powerful man. You speak for the majority.
This is wonderful news. It is a Christmas gift come early. And, you know, we can't wait to see the back of this government. You know, Barbados has come from 14 years of the best. Mm-hmm. The 10 years of the worst.
But you know that y'all been put on notice, and I think it is official now with the election being called that Starcom and the Brass Stacks will not be used as a campaign table. So when you are coming, you're being asked to bring some specifics and arguments for and not campaigning for or against, because it goes contrary to the broadcast license issued to the station.
And when will this take effect from?
Now. or about an hour ago.
Okay.
So y'all been put on notice and it's now official. So you just can't come here and campaign. You gotta bring specifics to me.
Well, I don't know how much more specifics I can bring at this stage, except to tell you that I expect that the Barbados Labour Party will return to government with a massive landslide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people of Barbados have been so bogged down for the last 10 years. I've looked at my people and I've felt sorry for so many of them. The policies of the Democratic Labour Party have not done us good. And I am not one to jump to believe the negative psychological tricks that the Democratic Labour Party is trying to play on the people of Barbados by telling them that, you know, if nobody can't find the money to buy, if they can't find the money to buy buses, nobody can do it, and nobody can't fix this economy, and nobody can't help Grantley Adams' children to get into UVA, and nobody can find money for garbage trucks. Mr. Lane, that is the type of language that has a lot of women trapped in abusive relationships today. Because there are a lot of men that walk around and tell women that, you know, if you leave me, I hear members of the Democratic Party saying, oh, you know what you got, but you know what you're going to get. We don't care. We believe that better can be had for Barbados. we have seen this country rise to the mountaintop. And right now it is down in the valley. And no amount of psychological negative thought from them, if they can't get it done, the time has come, and this is why rejoicing and celebration is breaking out all over Barbados. Because Barbadians have
you sound real excited, they true. You sound calamity or something. Are you
real?
I'm glad for you. Even if the celebration is short lived, I'm still glad you do get this joy.
It's a good opportunity for Barbados to rise again.
All right, you go and rest up. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so today continues to be a very, very special day indeed for Down to Brass Tacks. We are preparing for the latest, the 12:30 latest from the Starcom Network News. You can stand by because we've got two for the price of one, Roberta Dowell and Ryan Jill, standing by in studio to bring you the latest. I think that what we're going to do, take a quick call because we've got a few minutes before we get to 12:30. So we say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lane. How are you now?
I'm fine, thanks to you. We got short time, so let's go. Get down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, hello?
Get down to Brass Tacks. We got a short period of time before we go to the latest.
Listen, me carefully. It's not true that the QEH and the mental health institution of Black Rock have quiet zones at certain times?
They're quiet zones, period.
Right. The reason being, Mr. I forget the name, but my father's name now, the noise pollution advocate. It has serious effects on people's mental health. This was on the BBC. I didn't want to get into it, but this is...
You mean in relation to the noise pollution?
Yes, mm-hmm. It has serious... Yes. People who suffer from migraines, depression, are affected adversely by noise, etc. Mm-hmm. And it can cause certain people to snap.
Correct.
But from what I heard this morning, I decided to get into it. Yeah, Mr. Cal Moore.
Haven't we been talking about that, including the campaign for Quieter Barbados by Mr. Carmore for a very long time? Haven't we been talking about this too long? We're supposed to get decibel measurement tools, and we've been talked about. I can remember coming as a little boy, my scope master got on radio, I could hear all y'all talking about these things, and that wasn't yesterday. That was a good little while back. So what we can do? We can implement it, we can keep talking about it. But I want to support you.
I think the people from the mental health institution, especially, and from the QBA, should come and speak about it and get something done about it. Because this is what you just spoke about, taking decibel levels, mm-hmm. doing all over the world right now.
But we operate too backward, man. It's time for Barbados to get in the 21st century and prepare ourselves going forward. I want to thank you for bringing that, though, in relation to bringing the aspect of mental health to the discussion of noise pollution in Barbados. Okay, it's just gone 14 minutes actually before 1 o'clock. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Lots of buzz in the air with election date being called and nomination date. I just want to remind people, I saw WhatsApp asking and someone called off air asking this whole thing about your ID card. So someone wants to know, I want to know if I can be denied my voting right if I've trimmed my ID card to fit in my wallet and if passports are accepted. Someone asked the question, if the Supreme Court and the registry is closed, how can people go and get their birth certificates to get their ID cards? People say, you know, they carry their old ID cards and can't get the new ones because you need a birth certificate and so on. I am reliably informed. I was actually at a meeting sitting around the table with the Electoral Boundaries Commission and the Electoral Department. And I have been reliably informed that you do not even need an ID card to vote. Yes, that's correct. You don't need an ID card to vote. They have a copy of your ID card in their system. They can look at you, verify your face, just give the name and your address, and they can verify. They ask you a couple questions to verify it's you. So you do not need an ID card to vote. It'd be good to have one, though, but you don't need one. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome, Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, how are you doing, sir?
I am fine, thanks.
Right,
fantastic. Okay. I'm remarkable. Yeah. I know what I would take.
But
it's
a copyright. You gotta get permission to use those terms, sir. Yeah, man.
Yes.
Well, it's finally here. Mm. What shall I say? You might be young. You've heard about Cassius Clay. He went to Zaire to fight, I think it would have been 4 months, But then when he came back to the States, to fight a guy called Joe Buckner.
Right. You're talking about Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad Ali.
Right, correct. He was with Muhammad Ali then.
Right. When he got back into the States, you know, the reporters have been all around him. What have you got to say, Muhammad? He says that, he came back, he said, fight Buckner. So all he said to the reporters, where is Buckner? Just tell him trouble is in town. You know, that was the kind of person Cassius was. A lot of spunk. Where's Buckner? Tell him trouble is in town.
Trouble is in town. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Sting like a bee. You can stick out something. Yeah.
I know, these things. My concern, is that we focus on the boxing match. I feel as though we've been focusing on this boxing match the last 10 years. It's about the battle. Who's going to get knocked out? Who's going to win? But after the match is finished, that is my concern. Can we get down to governing? Can we? You know, the match finished. Let me govern, you know, but
okay,
no.
Okay.
You know, man, not for you guys. I'm wrong, Mr. Remarkable. Am I wrong?
No, but I'm okay. Like you. Mm-hmm. We're going to have, obviously, a country still to run.
Yes.
So then all this sustainability has got to be going into and all of this. So everything's going to in time and in place. We shall all know what we should know.
Okay.
And there's all the anticipation, the euphoria, and whatever. I am not going to breach your command as regarding what I should say, like, now, because I'm a senior in this thing. So it would not.
Correct.
And you need not become afraid. All I'm saying that, quoting Muhammad Ali, trouble is in town.
I can quote someone or a bigger book. I have not been given a spirit of fear, so I am not afraid.
Let
me ask a question. I've been told by my WhatsApp audience that it is the Barbados Labour Party that been happy about elections being called and so on. But can I ask, are you happy too that the election date has been announced?
Obviously.
Oh, you're happy too. So you were secretly waiting for it. You were anxious for it too as well.
Well, obviously, because it will bring everything to a settlement.
Yes. Either way.
All and sundry would be happy that the date is called. We need not speculate anymore. We're going to know what is what.
Again, I was going to speculate on one thing before you go, though. What was the prediction and the results you got?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. There ain't anything wrong with that.
Okay.
What's your predictions?
Well, the government will return easily into office.
You got any numbers? 2010? 22-8. Okay. No problem. 9 minutes before.
Whatever, I'm not going to breach as I have a foresight, but with all the whatever, we should see what we should see. I know the strategy is well in place and is well entrenched, so we should see.
22-8. That's the predictions. I regard you too, sir. Have a wonderful day. Brastas, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Thanks. Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good. Blessings be, my brother.
Blessings be.
I beat you to it.
I have cultivated that mantra, and I'm glad to see that it has caught on.
Definitely.
I am so excited about the date being finally announced that I'm inclined to observe a day of fasting, you know, in observance of it. It is clear that that's a searching letter that the leader of the opposition wrote to the Prime Minister.
It was the letter.
Considerable fruit.
So we must blame her then? She should have sent the letter every 6.
Say again?
We have to put some blame on her. She should have sent a letter every 6.
But not she just sent it every since, but she had to reach the correct phase of being deeply so that she could convey that to the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I'm calling today besides that is that I have met Sana and worked along with as a community, a community-oriented person, and with the inspectorate at the Black Rock Polyclinic. And sometimes I feel moved to see that these are some workers that really want to work. And that is a rarity in the Barbadian civil service context. Really want to work. Seem completely taken with their vocation. But then don't have the tools at their disposal. And there was a classic case this morning, which because it concerns a person that is still alive, it would not be appropriate to be specific about the circumstance. But I know it really moved the personnel from the Blackrock Polyclinic, the inspectorate, that they could not do more to help this person. I wouldn't say if it was a male or a female, but to help this citizen. And I am desperately calling now for the ministry to provide the Blackrock Polyclinic with a truck and with a bobcat, that they don't have to depend on the SSA and MTW when they have their works to carry out. Because if there's one department that really wants to do its work, to execute its mandate, to make its contribution to Barbados, it must be the inspectorate at the Blackrock Polyclinic. And I hail and commend them. So that largely was the reason why I picked up the phone to call the call-in program. But I hope that Bajans recognize that this program, Down to Brass Tacks, has played a human role in expressing our democracy. And I want the personnel there, even the ones behind the scene and behind the microphone, to know that us ordinary citizens, the laymen of the citizenry, we deeply appreciate the role you have played in expressing and making available this avenue of democracy to us. So I thank you all.
On behalf of the team, of course, I want to say you're welcome. And on that note, I actually remember the lady that had called, that you putting together the prosecution and so on, the prosecutor. Someone had called and asked for your contact. If you can call the front desk at 430-7300, that's 430-7300, and leave your contact there. And also, I would like to encourage, because I like when media can play a meaningful role in these community efforts as well. If you are having this difficulty and you want to join together, we can use the media in a positive way to kind of create that mobilization. So you too can call 430-7300 and we can facilitate all of you persons who feel aggrieved by the nuisance of this noise pollution. We can bring you together. So you can call 430-7300, leave your number, and I would pass it on so that y'all can get together and mobilize and do more. So if anybody can say, oh, it's just a talk show, all we do is talk, at times we can mobilize and facilitate as well. Brass Tacks, good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
I agree with the other guy. The guy that just spoke about the sentiments of a voice of Barbados in this getting on the Brass Tacks program. He is absolutely correct. Your female moderator is Juliet, right?
Is Julie? No, Lisa Gill.
Lisa. Mm-hmm. I called Lisa 2 weeks ago. I told Lisa that election is going to be on the 24th of May. Mm. And she asked me how I knew. I told her the 24th.
But I can ask you the same thing. How you knew?
I know all of my friends. They're saying, oh, he know that. Oh, he know that. He's the prime minister friend. I didn't have to be the prime minister friend.
But the prime minister himself said not even the angels above knew. So I want to know how you knew.
Listen, if you follow Mr. Stewart carefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know how Mr. Stewart thinks and go about his thing. He's very intellectual and things, right?
You should be a very rich man.
I haven't heard he had to go to Commonwealth and all those kind of things.
Oh,
I sit down and I can't.
You work it out. All right, so let me see. Seeing that you are very futuristic, what now? Where do we go from here? Now that it's been called, tell me.
I want my friends and everybody to hear I say this, that the Democrat Liberal Party will return to power. They will lose one seat.
Mm-hmm.
This seat that they will lose. Not by talking about it, as my good friend, he's a friend of mine, but I think James Paul in trouble. He's the one boy in trouble.
Oh dear. So that will put the number, was the number now, 14, 16, 2?
Yeah. He's the only 14,
person. 16, 12, 2. So it would be, I want to know what the new results will be. Where the two independents can go?
Listen, I even got time to calculate it now, because I still
right now, I think it's 4. It is 16 to the Democratic Labour Party, 12 to the Barbados Labour Party, and 2 independents.
All right, good.
So it was 14, 16. You said they can lose one, so it'd be probably 17, 13 to the Democratic Labour Party.
That's right.
All right.
They're going to be back this government.
Sorry, James Paul. Congratulations, Democratic Labour Party.
The only person that I think will lose their seat is James Paul.
So you entered the competition at Kelton with the 500 groceries?
I told my aunt go over there.
Jeez, no, brothers. You in good state, then. You in good state.
I told my aunt go up there. If I call her just now and ask her if she made the entry competition because she entitled to $500.
Okay, good, 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 good. A lot of people here on the chat want your number to get some lotto numbers and stuff. I don't know how you would get in contact with them.
I'm going to give him, I'll give him.
Yeah.
I play lotto every day. In fact, I will tell him
you should be a millionaire now.
I will tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
And in February, not boasting or bragging, I won $25,000 with some mm-hmm. numbers I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, one of the numbers I choose today, I would boast and brag for him. Today, this is April. Tell him choose 4, 25, and tell him research from this short birthday.
All right.
I put in those two numbers.
No problem. My math was a little off. Actually, it would make it 15-15. So we would actually have a tie according to your predictions. 15-15
yeah.
For the next thing. Now, what will happen there? Anyhow, thank you, sir.